People who report the highest sense of meaning in their lives are often not the wealthiest or most recognized. That finding, drawn from research on meaning in life, cuts against almost everything culture quietly teaches. Researchers define meaning as three interlocking things: coherence, life makes sense to you; significance, your life matters; and purpose, you have a direction worth moving toward. Notice what is absent from that definition. Wealth, fame, status, achievement, none of those appear. They can support meaning, but they do not produce it automatically. That gap between what culture promises and what actually generates meaning, that gap is exactly where this conversation begins, Levi. Now, you started a phrase once. What is it? You didn't finish it. That unfinished question is actually the right place to start, because most people never ask it. They inherit a definition of a good life, get credentials, earn money, build a reputation, and they run that program without examining it. Think of a man who spends 20 years climbing toward a position he believed would finally make his life feel real. He reaches it. The feeling lasts about 3 weeks. Then the familiar emptiness returns, slightly worse than before, because now he has no next rung to blame. That is not a story about ambition being bad. Ambition is not the problem. The problem is mistaking the ladder for the destination. Existentialist thought puts it sharply: existence precedes essence. You are not born with a completed identity handed to you. You form it through choosing, acting, and taking responsibility. The key idea is that a life is not something you receive fully assembled. It is something you build, and the building materials are your choices. The psychological cost of chasing appearance over substance is real. Carl Jung described the first half of life as necessarily ego-building. You establish yourself, prove competence, earn a place. That work is legitimate. But Jung argued that a crisis often arrives when the first half program stops working, when success feels hollow or loss strips away the external scaffolding. Viktor Frankl, writing from inside a Nazi concentration camp, reached a compatible conclusion from a different direction. He observed that people who survived psychologically were often those who found something to live for, a person to return to, a work to complete, a responsibility they could not abandon. Frankl did not say meaning is simply created from nothing. He said it is discovered, often through suffering, through love, and through what we contribute. That means meaning may be both received and constructed, found in the structure of reality, and built through the particular choices you make inside your circumstances. Research confirms this. Purpose is associated not just with positive emotion, but with self-regulation, perseverance, and active problem-solving when life becomes hard. Purpose is not a feeling, it functions more like a spine. The Christian and LDS frameworks push this further in a direction worth sitting with, Levi. Agency, in LDS theology, is not simply freedom to choose. It is the capacity that makes you genuinely responsible and therefore genuinely significant. Agency does not guarantee control over outcomes, reputation, or other people's judgments. Remember that distinction. What you control is how you respond, what you commit to, and who you become in the process. The Christian teaching that greatness is expressed through service, not rank, not visibility, directly challenges the assumption that importance is measured by applause. Colossians frames ordinary work, done faithfully and in love, as something that matters beyond the immediate audience. A meaningful life does not require universal recognition. Significance can be grounded in faithful responsibility toward particular people and worthwhile commitments. Research on relationships confirms this from a secular direction. Relationship quality matters more for perceived meaning than the sheer number of relationships. Faithful attention to a few particular people may be more significant than broad social visibility. The takeaway of this first lecture is not that success is bad or that ambition should be abandoned. The caution is sharper and more specific than that. Meaning is an internal alignment between what you value, what you choose, and how you live. And worldly success is an external measurement that may or may not track that alignment. A life that is objectively small, by worldly standards, can be psychologically and spiritually vast. A famous life can be internally hollow. The question worth carrying forward, Levi, is not whether you are succeeding by the metrics you inherited. The question is whether the metrics themselves are worth measuring by. That is the unfinished phrase. And finishing it honestly is the work of a lifetime.